grab your coat.
I would like to... No, it's not on. Are they on? Yeah. Okay, good. I would like to call the City of Goleta's Public Engagement Commission meeting to order for February 15th, 2018. Mr. Carioca, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Thank you. Do we have any public comments?
If I could take the roll quickly.
Sure, be my guest.
Okay. Chair Paz.
Here.
Vice Chair Bliss.
Here.
Commissioner Kiriakou.
Here.
Chair Massey.
Here.
Oh, excuse me, Commissioner Massey.
That's why I wondered if I had been promoted and didn't know it.
I've seen you in so many different seats.
I know.
Commissioner Schneider.
Here.
Commissioner Ibarra.
Here.
Commissioner Uribe.
Here.
Do we have any public comments?
I have no speaker slips.
Thank you. So the first item that we have is the Public Engagement Commission work plan. That's item A1. As a recommendation by staff, and so staff.
Good evening. Thank you for being here this evening. We're excited that we do get to continue this from our originally planned December meeting. As you know, it was a very challenging time for our community, and staff were taken away to work on those incidents. And so thank you for being accommodating with moving the item. So this item tonight before you is the Public Engagement Commission work plan, and it is timely. We just started doing work plans in the departments at City Hall, and this is great to start out with this for the Engagement Commission so that you know what your job is while you're here. And if you had a chance to read the report, you'll see that there are six items, A through G, that are directly related to what the recommendation and the resolution for the Public Engagement Commission are. And the Public Engagement Commission is to make recommendations to the City Council on matters pertaining to whether the city should become a charter city, whether council members should be paid greater compensation, and if so, how much, whether City Council meetings should be held after 5 p.m., whether the directly elected mayor's term should be 4 years, how to increase resident participation in government, the district mapping process in determining district lines for future district elections, and any other matters as directed by the City Council. Everything that we're doing here at the PEC, I'm just going to use that acronym if that's okay with you. Public Engagement Commission becomes a mouthful. Really relates to the district mapping process, because that's how this whole commission came about. So we need to keep that in mind as the context of what we're doing here today. So staff drafted a work plan to talk about the baseline and the starting points that we need to establish, and then how they build on each other to get to the end point of what the district maps look like. So the commission may want to start by defining what engagement looks like so we can set a foundation for future discussion. Then we would suggest the commission discuss measuring community engagement, generating ideas for increasing engagement, implementing some of these ideas, and then testing the results. And we provided some information from the Institute of Local Government, which is a great resource for government agencies. And they have a lot of experience and data on how public engagement works. And we look forward to tapping into that along the way for this process, and would recommend that if you have the opportunity, you check out their website, which is listed in the staff report. The other two reports that you'll be looking at tonight are directly related to the work of the Public Engagement Commission. And it starts with the communications policy, which is how we communicate to the public. And this is also a baseline, because we've never had one of these before. And so we need to provide the council with some standard of what we do, and then look at modifying that as needed as recommendations come about from the Public Engagement Commission. We also have a community survey staff report, and we had planned with the city's 15th anniversary, which we missed by about a month, to get out a community survey to get feedback from our community on what they think and how they engage and how do they think the city is doing and what would they like to see for us. So those are some of the items related to increasing resident participation in government. And that's where we see, really, the staff sees starting the work of the Public Engagement Commission. The next topic is the council compensation, or the topics are the council compensation, council meeting timing, and the term of the mayor, how long that should be. So all of those questions are questions that we suggest asking in the community satisfaction survey to get some very good data on what the community thinks. There are other ways maybe that the commission might suggest we get that input, but those would be questions that would be created by an outside consultant, so they were neutral and phrased appropriately so that we can actually get the kind of results we want. We don't want a survey that has leading questions or hard to understand questions. We want something that actually provides meaningful input. So we plan to engage in that process. I have the RFP ready to go, and we'll talk about it tonight, but with your concurrence, we will put that out later this, I was going to say week, but tomorrow's Friday, so later this month, and begin work on that. The next topic is the charter city topic, and that's something that is beyond the scope of what we as staff can do, and we would need to engage an outside consultant to help us do the research in that area. And because the Public Engagement Commission came about before, or excuse me, after the budget was being put together last year, or after I realized that it was going to be part of my budget, I did not ask for funding for that type of consultant work. So we would plan to ask for some funding for next fiscal year. We're in the mid-cycle budget process right now. And so we would go ahead and ask for that. So that would be a task that we would work on after the budget is decided in late May, June. And finally, there we have the question of the district elections and how those that mapping should be done and what that will look like for the citizens of Goleta. So it's critical to have the census data from the 2020 census. And so there will not be any work done on that until we get that census data. So we really don't anticipate even touching that topic until the summer of 2021, when we would expect that we would have something. So that's how the process we see is being laid out, and one thing builds on top of the other. By the time we get to district elections, we'll have hopefully a lot more information on how to engage people in the process, because part of the district mapping process is getting people to give us input on those district maps once the consultant draws those. And we really want to see, well, I shouldn't say we, but I would expect that we would see growth in our public engagement through this commission, through this process of one thing building upon another. So with that work plan, which I'm not going to go through page by page, but I'm happy to answer any questions, we did put together the meeting topic forecast so you can see what we anticipate working on in the next, throughout the rest of this year. So on April 11th, we would hope to have a conversation with you about what the definition of engagement is and what kind of measurement standards we want to use so that we can consistently identify what we're doing well and where we can do better. We'd also like hope that you would come to the community state of the city, which is on April 10th at the community center in the evening at 6 p.m. And that will be, we did one last year, which was our first one, and an event for the public to come and hear how the city is doing. There is also a state of the city event for business and nonprofits that the chamber puts on every year, and that is April 6th at the Bacara. And that is usually from 11:30 to 1:30. So, but particularly because the community state of the city is actually the city's event, we would like your input on that. And so if you are able to come on the 10th, we would love to hear your feedback on the 11th. So the staff report might be pretty short for that item, since it will be published before we have the community state of the city. And then finally, we would like to discuss how to increase community engagement. Hear your ideas. I know that at the first meeting we had, you were all very excited to talk about what we could do, and it'll be a topic that I imagine we'll discuss each meeting, but this is will be on the agenda specifically to start on April 11th, and we'll go from there. And then from there, we'll move into the June meeting, which will report back on our budget and whether or not the council was able to fund the Charter City consultant and any other requests that we may make, and we'll give you an update on the RFPs for the community survey. In August, we would review the results of the community survey, assuming everything goes smoothly, and give you some update on the community engagement metrics that we currently use, which is what we reviewed with you, the community outreach tools, at the first meeting, and that we do on an annual basis, and because our fiscal year ends June 30th, that will be another fiscal year for you. And then on October 10th, we'll talk about a year-end review of the projects and where we see it going from there. We'll have a lot more information. It's a little hard to forecast out 6 months because there are so many moving parts that we don't have information on. But that is a brief overview. And then in December, we'll work on the work plan for the next calendar year. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Ms. Massey?
Yes, I was sort of curious. You have on page 2, council compensation, council meeting time, and mayor's term together, followed by Charter City. It seems the council discussed compensation for council adequately without discussing Charter City first, and do salaries differently than we currently have.
Thank you, Ms. Massey. You're right. They are very intricately tied together. And we thought since we have the opportunity and we are going to do the community survey anyway, we can ask that question there to get a feel for if people are interested in that. And that might help us when we're talking about the Charter City question, because as you stated, that is a big difference. As you may know, the city of Santa Barbara is a charter city, and so they can pay their council members more of a living wage, so to speak. And the city of Goleta is not a charter city, and so our wages are very specifically stated in the government code. But yes, thank you for bringing that up. They are definitely related.
Ms. Schneider.
I want to thank the staff for putting this all together for us. It's very extensive and it really covers a lot of ground. I'm concerned about a few aspects of it. Question.
Sure.
And I'm speaking as a member of this committee, but also given my profession, I have some questions that go to the question of the survey as well. Work plan, but first, the work plan doesn't have a single public meeting. And I'm worried about that because it presupposes that we know the right answers to the questions to ask in the survey. And I'm concerned that you're not hearing me. Is my mic on?
Oh, now my mic is on, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, let me start over. All right. Thank you for all the work. I'm concerned about some things. So let me start with what is most on my mind, I think. There's no plan for any public engagement in the whole first year of this plan, which seems to me something of a problem from the point of view of us on the committee. It may not be a problem from the point of view of the staff, but I think it should be a concern for us as commission members. And I'm particularly worried because some of these issues are so complicated that we're calling for a consultant to give us information, and yet we want to ask the public questions like, should we be a charter city? Truthfully, since most of us don't understand all the ramifications of it, I don't see how anybody in a survey is likely going to be able to do it. So I'm a little bit worried about some aspect of this, it seems like there ought to be at least an educational or something with some people who might want to come in out of the cold to talk about some of these issues prior to the survey or in conjunction with the development of the survey, because it just seems to me we're leaving out the public engagement part in some of these processes when we might not necessarily need to do that, and we might not necessarily want to do that. So the not having the public meeting is a concern, and let me put that out. But then the other question is really about the survey, and if you want to have that be a separate item, I'd be happy to hold my comments on that. What do you think?
Staff?
Let's respond to the first
okay.
question.
Yeah.
Regarding the having public education, that is something that we could have. You've been provided the commissioners have been provided information regarding civic engagement, public
right.
engagement, what it means. I think that we have to develop a process, at least for the beginning with the commissioners.
Right.
And you're right, the public does need to understand what does a charter city mean? Why would I, in a survey, answer to that? We can work that in. I don't know, and I think that we need to talk to the consultants to find when is it appropriate to bring it to the public, or how would they recommend we bring that kind of discussion to the public? Is it in this type of forum where we're speaking to the commissioners and it's an open meeting for the public to come join? Should it be a workshop? We certainly want to hear your feedback on mm-hmm. what you think is appropriate. So you bring up a really good point, is we do need to communicate out to the public what this even means.
Right.
What we want to hear from you is, in what form should we present that so that we can work with a consultant on that? So very good comment that you bring up. We'd like to hear your ideas on what you think would work best for the public.
Okay. And if I could just add, just so you know, the Charter City question is not part of the community survey question, because it does need a lot of context. And so we'll be looking to the consultant that works on the charter city, just outlining what are the issues between a charter city and a common law city, and what are the differences, and how do we educate the people through the Monarch Press, and you know, what's our best mechanism for feedback. That will be later on, not part of the survey initially. Because you're right, people don't understand that, but mm-hmm. people do understand, I'd prefer to come to a meeting after 5 o'clock, or I think the mayor should be there for four years. Those are questions that the general public should be able to understand, but we'll be looking to the consultant to give feedback. And of course, every public engagement commission meeting is noticed and public, so
right.
that people can always give feedback, and we'd love it if you help promote that. We can continue to put it in the Monarch Press and help educate people that you are here to hear their input, and so are we. But yes, there definitely needs to be public engagement outside of this room.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hold your questions
or
comments?
Forget the survey for the moment. I actually do just have
sure.
a simple question about the question of the charter city. I don't know where that came from. We were handed that as part of our charge.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the story, the history of how it even came to be a question. Is it intimately linked to the question of an increase in salaries? If so, is there no way to get an opinion on whether what we can do about salaries separate from the question of charter? In other words, do we need to be, can we raise salaries? That's some royal we. Can we recommend raising salaries separate from a determination about charter?
Thank you for that question. No. Based on what we currently have, our structure, this council can only approve an increase, I believe it's every 2 years after the election, and it's a very small amount.
Huh.
So I'm sorry, I don't know the answer off the top of my head, but it'd be interesting to know if people say, yes, council should be paid more. That might be a good question that helps lead future conversations that the consultant will engage upon for the Charter City question. The list of these items all came out of the potential lawsuit related to the California Voters' Rights Act.
Right.
So they weren't topics that we put together. So I would have to ask legal, and unfortunately they're not here, how that came about exactly.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Uribe.
Yes. Thank you again for all the reports and everything that you gave us.
Thank you for the report and all the information that you gave us. I would like to ask a few questions. And I guess the first one that I want to ask you, if I heard correctly, you were saying that for the mapping, when it comes, it would be like in the summer of 2020, if I understood correctly. And so our commission here is scheduled to end then, maybe to continue later, but as it is, it's scheduled to end then, or no? Am I mistaken? Okay, go ahead.
My recollection is that at the council meeting, the council did not determine an end date.
Oh, okay. All right, that was just a clarification for my benefit. And I totally agree with what you said about participation of the community in the surveys and everything. Mm-hmm. And one question that I have for that is, how are we planning to distribute, or is that part of what we are going to suggest, to distribute those surveys to the community? How is that plan?
Thank you, Ms. Uribe. At this point, we haven't engaged the consultant yet, so that will be part of their plan will be the public outreach plan. But we certainly would welcome the commission's distribution of the link to the survey, or depending on what the mechanisms are that the consultant's recommending, we would certainly want to hear from you and have your assistance in doing that. But we would use all of our regular tools, and it will also be a phone survey.
Yeah, and one of the things that we're doing when we, in many of our projects, when we have consultants, is we'll bring them out here to hear from the commission when we can. We try to develop a plan for the consultant to come out and to hear out what the needs are of the commission, what your questions, concerns, and certainly to come back and bring you information that the consultant is recommending. We want to have a two-way communication, so at whatever opportunities we can, we try to put that into a consultant agreement that they come out and either do a workshop or come and present to the commission. If it's the commission's request that the consultant come in, develop the discuss the plan, that's what we want to do, so that you can provide feedback. You're our eyes and our ears out there in the community, and it's really good for the consultant to hear from your voice. Certainly we can also communicate that to them, and this is going to be the purpose of the discussions that we will have along, is to get your feedback, or that you provide that feedback directly when we can put that into the consultant agreement.
And just related to what you're saying, this consultant that we're talking about is a consultant for the public participation, increased resident participation in government. Is that a consultant that we're talking about for that?
We're talking about the survey.
The community.
Just for the survey.
The survey. And anywhere where else it makes sense. But in what I was talking about right now was a survey.
So then this is my next question. Are we thinking about hiring some consultant to increase the participation of the community? Because we can be the ears and everything, but we cannot do it ourselves. So is there a consultant in the plans for the outreach to the community?
No. I don't think we were heading in that direction. What you are the eyes and ears mm-hmm. out there. Your neighbors, you know, you have your neighbors, you have your business community, and what we're looking from the commission, as you read through some of the material, and hopefully we can provide some webinars and training to this commission, is we need your suggestions on what do you think we need to do to engage the community in both civic and public engagement. How can we do that better? You on your first meeting, you discussed having workshops in Old Town or at the community center. That's the kind of feedback that we're looking at. So as we start to explore, we're going to be exploring, and this is what Valerie mentioned in the opening of her presentation, is that you're going to help define what does public engagement, civic engagement mean for this community. And those are the ideas we're going to explore more. So we're looking for you to give us that input. Certainly at some point, if you feel that it's necessary to bring in a consultant and we're not making progress in that area, you can suggest that idea. We can explore that more. But we're really looking for you to tell us what our community needs.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Kurioka.
Thank you. And first, let me just begin by thanking staff, because there's some excellent staff work represented in this work plan. And so a lot of my questions, rather than being big picture questions, are going to be a little bit more granular and detailed. So my first question is getting into the methodology of the survey. Have you already given some thought to how you're going to determine who the population is? Is that something that you suggest to the consultant? Does the consultant come back to you with, we want to poll only registered voters, or we're going to figure out some other methodology? So could you just share a little bit for the public and for my edification, how are you going to determine who gets the phone survey?
Thank you for that question. And because this is not a survey related to a ballot initiative, I think we would be working with a consultant to engage people that weren't just registered voters in order to further engage the community, because we are missing a segment of the community if we only engage registered voters.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And would you normally in a survey like this call landlines and mobile, or just mobile, or just landlines?
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Yes. My past experience, and we've in the last couple of years only done two surveys that I'm aware of, we called both.
Okay, thank you. So my next question is just, I guess it's more of a comment. I would just note that when we did last meet, there was discussion about having workshops, and despite being encouraged by the methodology, I would be very interested in seeing workshops, whether they were scheduled during the same time as one of our meetings. Perhaps the workshop could take the place of a meeting. We could have our meeting at the community center. That would just be one potential way to get there. My next question is, I just want to kind of follow up on something that was talked about with Ms. Schneider's comment about the charter city. Would it be possible for you to just give us a quick 30-second to a minute summary of what the council's reasoning was behind having this committee look at charter city versus general law city?
Thank you again for the question. I have no idea. I would have to talk to legal counsel and find out how that came about. This was part of the resolution and part of the discussions with the California Voters Rights Act. The people that
I'm sorry to cut you off. Neither one of us were part of that discussion. Okay. What we ended up was with a settlement agreement and then a task list from the city council. That is certainly something that we can explore more with our legal counsel and bring that to you at a future meeting. Yeah. I did hear from Commissioner Schneider that she's interested to find out if this was if this is just connected to compensation, mm-hmm. or if there's a broader reason why we're exploring this charter city. So right. Give us an opportunity to explore that further, and we can bring that to you at a follow-up meeting.
Okay. And then my last question before I stop asking questions and let some other commissioners get in here. Will you be engaging with the consultant on making sure that the survey is going out to all populations of the city, specifically hiring people to make the calls that are bilingual, that could reach our Spanish-only, monolingual Spanish-speaking-only population?
Thank you for that question. Yes, that would be our intent.
Thank you.
Thank you. And don't forget to turn off your light once you're done asking questions. Commissioners. Mr. Ibarra.
Yes, and again, reinforcing what the previous commissioners have said, thank you for your time and effort in coming up with these reports. I know that coming up with this information along with the other duties is difficult and it's time consuming. But I also agree with some of the concerns that were brought up by the commissioners, other commissioners, on the public participation and information that we would get, that we would put out at the workshops. I do have some concerns and also observations and discussions I've had with individuals that have worked on other commissions and worked on other community groups where they do surveys. I do have a concern that we might miss individuals that we would not get their input from. For example, individuals that have difficulty working with social media, if they have difficulty with the reading and writing. We're trying to get participation from a wide variety of individuals in the Spanish-speaking community and other communities. So I have a concern that perhaps by not having these workshops or these informational meetings, we would miss those individuals that would really would want to target. Talking to one of the individuals from another organization that did a survey, they noticed that at one of their meetings that they had, one of their functions that they had, they noticed that a lot of the folks were not completing the regular survey that you would do with a pen or paper, pen and pencil on the paper, and they noticed that some of the individuals were just, especially certain individuals age-wise, would just look at the paper and say, well, okay. They needed to be engaged. They needed somebody to explain to them, this is what a survey is, this is what we need for you to answer, and you might have to have individuals explain to these folks what the survey is, what we're looking at, and what they would need to answer on those surveys. So I think that by not having these informational meetings, we would miss that target population that we're intending to go after. So that's my only concern, and just an observation. So, yeah, I would be in favor of doing some type of workshop or meeting where we could invite people so they could also help us spread the word.
More of a focus group.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ms. Massey.
Yes, I have several questions that I have.
Oops, sorry. I pulled an Ed. Ed Easton used to always forget to turn his mic on, so that's my reference there. If we will have the consultants here, will we be able to suggest to them, you know, an approach, things that they need to consider? Because I find that most of the surveyors at phone don't have the slightest idea of how to pronounce half the names that they ask questions about. I mean, I usually feel like I'm educating the guy who's calling me so that he can do, and I do really, because I want him to be able to ask the question to get valid responses. And if you're talking about the first couple of questions, sometimes I don't even know what the heck he's talking about. So it's very important. And also, when you get into the print media, there's a lot of problems with what's going out currently and what I've received over the last year, and I'd like to, you know, have a little one-on-one discussion about that. Also, I'm curious, and then I'll get off, will we see the questionnaire or the survey or whatever you want to call it before it goes out? Because I'm concerned that too many times I find that they're slanted. Even the city ones where you just want a simple answer, it's still slanted, and I'd like us to have an opportunity to all of us see if we think it's a really a fair questionnaire and survey.
Thank you, Ms. Massey. We can certainly delay it and bring that back as part of the April 11th meeting.
I would think.
we do always have a conversation with the consultants before a survey goes out. The staff does, and we work on the questions and talk about things like how you say Goleta, not Goleta, and things like that. And but would you like to comment on that at all about bringing it back in April if we have? I guess I'm concerned if we will have a consultant chosen and we will have survey questions from them before April 11th.
Well, I think we can go out and certainly go out with our RFP and look out there and see what surveyors would respond to that. Mm-hmm. If the question is that the commission, if it's the commission's request that you have input into the questions or that the consultant can come back and provide additional information or review the questions. We know what we want out of the survey. It's developing those questions that are getting us there. So if it's the wish of this commission that we come back to you with questions, it could delay the process a little bit. But if that's what your wish is, then we can do that. We'll have to build that in. So I think we're going to have to look at the scope that we're looking for and include a presentation before the commission, have that opportunity. So if that's your wish, we could do that. Just know that that's going to provide some kind of delay.
Yeah. I guess another comment on that is these three questions that we identified here are just a small segment of the community satisfaction survey that we anticipate. So there are a lot of other things that are beyond what this commission would have input into. Generally.
I'm going to take two more questions and we're going to move on because we're already actually past the time for this particular item. I do appreciate everyone's comments, but we do have a meeting schedule. So next is Ms. Schneider and then...
All right. Well, it is on the community survey. Am I on? Yes, it is on the community survey. I was going to ask you what other questions were going to be on the survey, partly because in my experience of talking to people in Goleta, people get upset about things. There's a real problem with satisfaction surveys, and satisfaction surveys often bring out the most negative kinds of things. So I can well imagine somebody suddenly going, well, the city council let them put all that mud on our beach, and we shouldn't pay them a penny. And so I'm very worried about sort of the character of the survey itself, and satisfaction surveys can be a problem, which is a good reason for having a consultant. I do want to raise a question that maybe some of my colleagues in the commission might frown upon, but I found the pace of the whole work plan kind of slow. So I would hate the idea, truthfully, of putting off the discussion of the survey. Is there a way for us to have some kind of subcommittee that could actually meet with the consultant and meet with the staff, maybe at the same time or in conjunction with, so that we don't delay it if we're going to use this as a tool?
I don't see why not.
Mm-hmm. It'd have to be three people, not to make the majority of the commission be present. So it'd have to be three people. And we could probably, I'll ask staff if we need to take action on that particular item tonight, or do we that up at the next meeting?
What we would need is a support of two commissioners in order to bring that item on the next agenda.
Perfect. So we have one person raising the question. Do we have any other commissioners who actually have an idea about that or support that?
I'm willing to support that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, we'll bring that item on the next agenda for you to take action on voting in a ad hoc committee for that.
Perfect, thank you. Ms. Uribe, that will be the last comment, question.
Okay, so talking about the workshops that I'm hearing that are very interested in on those, I think that it would be great to do the workshops, but I would like to, for the consultant, and I guess that goes to your subcommittee to meet with the consultants, but I would like for the consultants to be a little bit more creative, because if we invite those communities that never come to them workshops, they will not come. So I think that we need to be more creative instead and go to them in some fashion. And I'm not here to with the whole answer to that, but I think that we need to be more creative than just create a workshop and invite people. They're not coming.
Thank you. I just want to remind you that on April 11th, we'll be discussing how to increase community engagement. So I would really be interested in hearing what your ideas are on how consultants can be more creative.
Just wanted to have a comment for staff as far as the survey itself. I was curious more observed that it had more of areas rather than means of participation. The examples are great, like the city of Turlock, when they had those examples of how they increased their public, that was great. I was a little confused as to whether that was what you were looking for and wanting to do versus maybe just looking at areas of participation rather than means of participation, if you see the difference.
Sure. We are open to your feedback in both areas and means.
So perfect.
Whatever you would like to suggest, we are happy to hear.
Thank you. So we move on to the next item is A2, Request for Proposals for Community Survey. We already had a little bit of discussion about this item tonight, but staff, go ahead.
Well, thank you. I feel like we had a lot of discussion about the survey, and so we had a lot of good feedback from you, and we'll be very interested to get this RFP out to get consultant proposals, giving them the information on the demographics of our city and the uniqueness of it, and something that we want to emphasize when we are doing interviews of the consultant. You have it identifies and addresses those three questions that we talked about before, but we will also be asking questions that were in line with questions that we asked in 2008 so that we actually can compare and contrast how we were doing back then and how we're doing now after our 15th year of incorporation. The RFP is attached for your review, and if you had any comments other than that the dates need to be updated to reflect the new schedule, I'd be happy to hear those.
Any other comments, questions? Mr. Carriaco.
You know, I'll come back. Come back to me.
Okay. Commissioners, any other questions, comments? No other questions or comments.
Did we want to wait for Commissioner Kiriakou to?
I'm okay for right now.
Okay.
Actually.
Yes, Ms. Schneider.
There's nothing specific in the RFP looks terrific. Though I'm curious about whether or not as part of the RFP we might actually be asking that the consultant or the consultant staff, whatever that might be, at least somebody be bilingual, so as they're thinking about it and as they're designing questions, particularly if the questions are going to be possibly given both in Spanish and English, which we haven't discussed at all, that there would be somebody on board and somehow able to handle that. Because if the consultant has to hire a consultant in order to do Spanish translation, that's another whole problem, then that's going to cost the city more money. So just a
Commissioner Schneider, that's a very good point. That is our intent, but if it could be documented in this request, we certainly it can be. So we will do that. Okay. That's a very excellent comment.
Thank you, Ms. Bliss.
I was just wondering if you could help me understand why it's going to be limited to phone, or in fact confirm that it's limited to phone, and there won't be like an online option of completing the survey or other modes of completing the survey.
Sure. Thanks for the question. We definitely want it to be by phone. That was the primary objective when we brought it to council last year. But that doesn't preclude us from including an online or a written survey. And in general, when the city does surveys, we don't do, unless we engage a consultant, we don't do phone surveys. And we, for example, we have two surveys going out next week that are we have a workshop in Old Town for these two projects, different days. People will come and give feedback. They can also do the online survey in English and in Spanish, or they can have a printed copy of the survey and return it to us in English or Spanish. So We could certainly add that into the RFP, that it includes an online and written component. But the 2008 survey was a phone survey, and that is a way for us to ask very specific questions with very specific answers to get very specific data, as opposed to surveys where that's a battery backup and it will go off in about 30 seconds. We were aware of it. Sorry, we should have warned you. We are not having a fire drill or an earthquake. So we can certainly include that, I think, to do an online and written survey. But we also really want the phone component because we do want to be able to compare and contrast to 2008.
Okay, so that's the benefit.
Yeah.
Mr. Ibarra.
And I also agree with Commissioner Bliss that there has to be, in the RFP, there should be the doing the online, the telephone, written, and also person to person. I think that would help us, again, target the same very same groups that this commission should be targeting. So I would like to see that, if possible, at least raise a discussion on that on and have it on the RFP. Thank you.
If I could respond to that. The survey that we had prepared and prepared for council before was primarily a phone survey, and so the funds allocated were for a phone survey. There's a possibility that if the amount came in lower just for the phone survey, that we could include all those other components. But doing the phone survey isn't the only means of answering those three questions, and we could certainly do those other methods outside of what the consultant says. So we could do the phone survey and get all of those questions mm-hmm. answered, but we could also do the city's own outreach and the Public Engagement Commission's outreach, and perhaps that would be where we would do a meeting at the community center and have more of a focus group conversation. So I just want to assure you that this survey that we had referred to in this RFP is not the only means of answering those questions.
Ms. Bliss.
This is a comment, but that's really helpful because I also feel like that would help inform how to get more public engagement. It's kind of like an experiment around which ways people are more engaged or more receptive to answering. So that's super helpful. Thank you.
Likewise, I think that the more we explore those opportunities, the kind of, and this is all a test in many ways. This is the way I look at the plan, as a test of, you know, feeling out our areas that we are charged as a commission to work around. And it's a chicken and egg thing. We won't know a lot of these pieces until we start actually working through the plan. So it's hard. I think we all want to see more engagement and we want to involve, but there has to be a plan in order for that to occur. And I think for staff's purposes, the more we provide you some initial sort of groundwork, the easier it is for us to then move forward to try to get more public engagement from that point forward. So that's the way I look at it, at least from my viewpoint at this point in time. Ms. Schneider.
Yeah, it's a very simple point about the phone surveys. I've been trying to think about who still has a landline versus mm-hmm. who has a cell phone. And there are people with landlines, mm-hmm. and many of those people have cell phones too, but many of them don't, and they tend to be long-term residents of Goleta. There are people with cell phones only, and those people tend to be all over the place, but sort of more of the younger people, more people who we're claiming we need to do outreach to. And so from my point of view, if we find ourselves in a situation in which we can only do phone work, then we really want to maximize the phone work as best we can and do all of them, to not settle for any one or the other of those, because it will give us the widest phone reach in any case. I like some of these other ideas, but they may be outside the budget or whatever, but certainly both phones. You know, in 2008, probably we didn't do cell phones, did we?
Thanks for the question. I actually wasn't here in 2008 and didn't do the survey, so I don't know. But just like Mr. Kiriakou asked previously, The most recent surveys we've done with consultants, they've used landlines and cell phones.
I was wondering if there's any possibility for us to use social media. I know we're going to talk about social media in the next item, but to promote the survey out there to get people to actually, you know, either if it's online would be a great sort of venue to kind of get people to start doing it and say, you know, so if that's a thought on staff's part, it'd be great to know.
Absolutely. We would probably write an article in the Monarch Press saying, hey, this is coming. This is a legitimate survey from the city of Goleta. We want to hear back from you. Here's a taste of some of the results that we had heard previously. We want to see if we've grown up into our teenagerness and how we're doing. Be on the lookout for that. Everything that we put in the Monarch Press, we do social media on. We also put it on Channel 19, which is our TV channel. So we use as many mechanisms. We also have the print Monarch Press, and so an article would be in there. And to Ms. Schneider's point, the people that generally get the print version of the Monarch Press are more likely, I think, to have a landline phone. Mm-hmm. And so they would be educated to the fact that some strange number would be showing up and maybe be more likely to say, oh, I'll answer a survey from the city of Goleta.
And I, just another point, I remember when we did the 2010 census in the county, and I was actually part of doing a little bit of outreach to our community, came out in some TV thing. And I wonder how many of our commissioners would be interested in such a thing too, because I can see a number of us actually going to Spanish language media outlets and actually using our position to actually promote the city of Goleta having a survey. Please fill it out. Now, here's an opportunity for you to chime into what the city is doing and be a little more engaged in what the city is doing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Mr. Ribada?
I just have a quick observation and a comment. One of the things that I would suggest, and if it's already been covered, I apologize for that, but if it could be possible to, at city council meetings and at other types of venues, if we could mention that there's a survey coming out, that what the purpose of the survey is, and again, there are folks that would want help with completing the survey, putting that out would really be helpful. And in addition, on the Channel 19, the Goleta station, it would be a good thing to put in English and Spanish or whatever other languages that we were trying to get input from. If we could also put it there that there will be a survey coming out, that we're looking at it, and if people need assistance with it, they could call a number or there would be somebody there to help them. Anyway, that's what I would like to see.
Great. Last comment, Ms. Uribe.
Thank you. I was wondering if there is a way that we can have the PEC Commission, that we can have a little space on the Monarch newsletter, just a tiny thing, just to say from the Public Engagement Commission, and whatever we want to communicate to the public, and we can have, like, each one of us can write something and rotate that, you know, and of course we will send you that and talk to you guys before, but I think that would be a good thing. First of all, telling people or reminding people that we exist, and second, to just have for the public to listen about what are we doing beforehand before we actually do it.
Thank you. Sure, we'd be happy to have something in the Monarch Press. If the commissioners want to write something and submit it, be happy to have it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just have a procedural question. For each item tonight, I know we've already had general public comment for items not on the agenda. I'm just wondering, for each of our individual items, are we supposed to be asking for public comment?
We should be asking if there's any public speakers for the item that's before us.
So you already went through A1, and do we have any comments for A2?
I have no speaker slips.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments before we move on to item 8.3? Thank you. So item 8.3 is communications and channel 19 policies.
Thank you. So last year, actually in 2016, we had a conversation with the City Council about some public engagement and Channel 19. And during that time, I received some feedback from them and said that I would draft a communications policy so we had a baseline for what we were doing. And in that process, realized we needed to update the Channel 19 policy to actually reflect what Channel 19 does and is and how it works. So for your feedback this evening is a copy of the draft communications policy and the Channel 19 policy, and we will be taking that to the City Council with your suggested changes, and we'll hope to get that to them later this spring.
Mr. Kiriakou.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I just also want to, again, compliment staff for another excellent report. I'm looking at page 9 of the item, item 8, emergency communications. There's a sentence at the beginning that says, to the greatest extent possible, the city provides emergency information in English and Spanish. And so my question is, under what extents would it not be possible to communicate in Spanish in relation to a disaster? And I'm thinking of this for reasons that are somewhat self-evident right now.
Thank you so much for the question. When we have incidents that last 2 or 3 days, it's not a problem to find people to translate information. But so you're aware, at the county level, there's a huge void in public information officers and public information staff that can provide translation. And having worked the entire fire and then the first week of the slide, in the EOC, we're always trying to get people to translate and have a second translator be able to double check the work. The city does not have an identified translator. We have several people on staff that can translate, and they serve in other capacities, not just as translators. So on the weekends, which is often when emergencies happen, I can call one of those two people and say, I need you to translate this, and I need it done in an hour. But if they're not at a computer or they're not on call in the same manner that, say, I am as a public information officer. One of the ways we are remedying that situation is we put out an RFQ for Spanish translation and interpretation, and are going to be finalizing that next week. And so we will have people on call that with identified rates and established contracts, not just locally, but in the United States. So they may be people that aren't affected by the emergency. So if power is out here and we only have cell phones or such, they can translate something for me and then I can put it out on the channels. So I am not, unfortunately, bilingual. I wish I was. I didn't grow up in California, so unfortunately I took French in high school. But it is something that we're always working toward, having more Spanish language translation more readily available, but sometimes it's just not possible.
Thank you for sharing that information. I think that's really important information for the public to be aware of, because there's this there's an important concept that I don't think is discussed enough, and it's the concept of language justice. And particularly in a disaster, it's just so important that we can have as close to as possible, if not simultaneous, information going out in English and Spanish, because depending upon where a disaster strikes, you don't know who it's going to be targeting and what neighborhoods and what populations. So I just think that's really important. I'm glad the city is doing that. Thank you.
Well, and I would just like to point out that the city has never been the lead agency on an emergency in the almost 8 years that I've been here. We always are working for the county. So any information that we put out is bonus information. And so the county has 4,000 plus employees, and so they have a lot more translation available. So we're always in the number two spot for having that service, but it's always a goal. And thank you for reminding us of that.
Ms. Uribe.
And I would like to say something about that, because it's for sure is a matter of language justice and language access to vital information, but it's also, and I would urge the city when they're looking for somebody, that it, this is a professional service, because quality counts. Mm-hmm. And it's important is your image as a city, and it is important for people who receives like a accurate, well-written, exactly how it should be. So far, I've been here in this community for 20 years or a little bit more. And so far, we in the Spanish community, Spanish-speaking community, we feel lucky that there's something at least that is understandable. But I think that we got to a point now that it needs to be correct. And that is not always the case. So relying on volunteers and thing, people very well intended, but they might not know the language correctly. It's a problem nowadays. So just something to keep in mind.
Thank you.
May I respond to that? The city only has qualified translators, and the people that are on staff that provide translation have to take a test to provide that. So we don't actually ever use volunteers that I'm aware of. So there is a quality control standard. But if you have concerns about the translation that's going on, please bring it to my attention. Mm-hmm. And if you have concerns at the county level, please bring it to Gina DePinto's attention. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have any other comments or questions on communications and Channel 19 policies? Okay. I do after you, but go ahead.
Just keeping with the theme of communication policies, and particularly as it relates to both Channel 19 and then just public meetings themselves, I just want to come back to the subject of interpretation. I know there are other agencies actually based here in Goleta that provide interpretation at their meetings. I'm thinking, of course, of the Goleta Union School District. And I'm just wondering, is there any point in the future where the city anticipates proposing as part of its communication policy that we would go to interpretation being available at least at request for a meeting, and always being available if there's a meeting that's going to involve a public hearing where you're actively supposed to be soliciting public comment? Is that something that we anticipate including in the future?
That's a great question. The council has had some limited discussion about translation, both translation and interpretation in the past, but they have not had any recently. And so we can certainly include that as a recommendation if the commission so wishes for the council to have a discussion of that. And I'm glad to know the information about Goleta Union School District, because when I was on the school board, we didn't have that service. But I know that there were certain meetings where if we knew a group of people that were coming needed the translation, it was provided. So the city council may be willing to consider something in that same manner. But we'd be happy to include that as part of your recommendation if you all concur.
I would support that. Yeah.
Commissioners? Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I wouldn't as well. And I would just say from my experience of being on the Santa Barbara Unified School District, we always had someone available for interpretation at every single board meeting. And sometimes for certain meetings, not always, but sometimes, depending on the audience we were working with at that particular time, sometimes we had a lot of people, and sometimes we had no one. So it depends. I'm obviously on the agenda item as well. I just had a quick question. When I was looking at the communications and Channel 19 policies, there was a section on social media by employees, and I would just wanted to clarify, was that more workplace related as guidance? Because there's reference to it below, but then above there's no reference to it as workplace related. Is it having to do with sort of the impression that you are working on behalf of the city of Goleta, and then someone is doing something they shouldn't be doing? And
sure, thank you. Mm-hmm. There are two different parts of the social media. Attachment 3 is the social media policy for employees while they're on site working for personnel rules. That is different than those of us that work in community relations and community outreach, because it's part of our job to use social media. So on page six, that part is directly related to the city's social media and gotcha. Social media use by community relations employees in the task of performing their jobs.
I just got a little confused because then I had to go down a little bit and say, okay, there's a work-related phrase here, so I'm assuming it's work-related, but at the top it wasn't necessarily as clear.
I can certainly add some clarifying yeah. information in there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioners, any questions, other comments at this point in time? We are going to item B. There's no other public comments or questions at this point in time?
No comments, thank you.
We will go to item B, director's report.
Thank you. Just a few items for a reminder that the commissioners, if you haven't already yet, to submit your proof of participation certificate for the ethics training, you can submit that to the city clerk. Also, Ms. Kushnerov mentioned the RFQ process and that we're moving forward. We heard a lot of comment today. We'll take that, definitely consider that. So we'll move forward with that as well as commented tonight. And also a reminder that if commissioners have any request items that you'd like to see in future agendas, which is our next item on the agenda, that we have concurrence of at least two commissioners so that we can bring those future items in future agendas. At our next meeting of April, April 11th, that will be our next meeting. We will I just wanted to remind you that on April 10th, the night before, we do have the community state of the city. That's at 6 o'clock at the community center. We hope to see you there. But also just want to remind you that we're going to try to keep the April 11th meeting within an hour. Staff has some commitments of some seminars and conferences that the day after. And mm-hmm. so we're hoping to keep that within the hour. And those are all the updates and that I have for you.
Thank you. Future agenda items, commissioners. No future agenda.
Reminded what was already on what the staff had already planned.
Oh. Commissioner Schneider, you might want to use your mic.
Oh, okay. My mic is on. Could you please remind us what you already had planned for the April 11th meeting? So that we can think about what else we might want.
Well, one of the items that was added to that agenda was selecting an ad hoc committee to work with staff
right.
on the survey with the consultant. That would be one item.
Right.
We also have, I think Ms. Kushnerov has that on hand.
Sure, that is listed out on page 3 of the first report to develop a working definition of engagement and a measurement standard.
Okay.
To receive your feedback on the community state of the city and have a general discussion on how to increase community engagement.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Uribe.
I would like to see discussing how can we involve first the community organizations so they can help us involve the public. And I'm thinking about, for instance, Girls Inc., Community Action Commission, all of those, if we could have, so let me explain my vision. My vision is that we could have a meeting with them, and then they, because they are the stakeholders that have a lot to do with participation of people, if they help us distribute information, if they help us a lot of things, you know, so maybe if we can involve them, and how can we do that, and et cetera.
Thank you for that. Perhaps we can include that in the discussion on April 11th of increasing community participation.
Okay.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Bring your items.
Mr.
Better.
Going along with that, I agree, because I think we need to clarify how we can approach these community organizations. I think I would like to get direction from staff how to do that, because in our role as commissioners. So I definitely agree there's a lot of community organizations, Leon, others that work with the community that we could use as a conduit.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up.
Thank you.
Even, oh, Can I?
Ms. Uribe, last comment.
And actually, I was wondering also if we can and how can we work with the school district too for the same purpose. So maybe that would be another part of to that.
Thank you.
We'll be happy to talk about what we're already doing. We do work with community organizations on the school district, but we'd love to get your feedback and talk about that some more on April 11th.
Okay.
I was wondering if we could perhaps include, you know, a question about, you know, other issues that might be of concern to Goleta residents, like transportation, childcare costs, just, you know, some other issues of concern. Just ensure that those matters are addressed.
Can I just ask for clarification in the sense of public engagement, that those are barriers to public engagement?
Yes, I mean, I'll give you an example, since you asked. If you have childcare commitments that require you to travel a long distance because the cost of affordable, accessible, and quality care forces you to travel distance, that it might prevent you from being able to attend a public meeting, keeps you further away from other opportunities.
Okay, so I think probably the way we would address that is at the next meeting when we talk about ways to engage people that have different challenges such as language, childcare, transportation. In that context, how do we engage those people that maybe can't participate in traditional methods?
Thank you. That's where I was trying to go with it. Thank you.
Thank you. There's no other questions or comments. We have reached the end of our agenda and ask for adjournment. We have a motion to adjourn. Ms. Schneider, second.
Second.
Ms. Uribe, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.